A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. We seek the protection of God from shaytan, who has been disqualified from God's kingdom of special grace and mercy because of his arrogance and his defiance. If we determine to avoid the satanic habits of arrogance, whatever we know to be true, we submit. And if we avoid the satanic habit of defiance, whatever we know to be evil, we don't commit. And if we have reliance on God, definitely we shall be granted the strength to be able to identify, to oppose, and to overcome shaitan. Shaitan is a weak creature. He only wins when we allow ourselves to be weakened. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We humbly turn to God and ask for His special grace and guidance, because He is the All-Perfect One. Nobody can achieve any perfection until and unless He wills it so. And we turn to Him because He is Rahman. His unlimited grace and love and mercy reaches out to each and everything. It brings it to life, sustains it, and enables it to reach its goal of perfection. And we turn to Him because He is Rahim. His extra grace and love, which is abundant, eternal, unimaginable, it's available exclusively here in the dunya and in the akhirah for those amongst us who believe in Him and who respond to His commands and who live a life according to His dictates and are ready to die for it. Alhamdulillah. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. And we send our salutations and greetings on the Holy Prophet and on the Holy Progeny, who are the best guides for mankind till the end of time. Respected scholars, elders, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam have encouraged us and instructed us to commemorate the event of Karbala and to engage in weeping and mourning and grieving, and a tremendous degree of reward has been promised for this, but it is conditional on us understanding and appreciating the purpose for which this movement was undertaken, the challenges which they faced, how did the companions get attracted to this movement, what sacrifices they made and the motives for those sacrifices, the conditions in which the movement was undertaken, how does it apply to us, and what would our response be should we face similar conditions. That's when, if we weep and grieve and mourn, then the reward would be promised for us. One of the fundamental motives of the movement, as declared by the Imam alayhi salam, right in the beginning, when the summoning order came from Yazid to the governor of Medina to call Imam Hussein to the palace, and Imam alayhi salam goes to the grave of the Holy Prophet, right from that moment he declares that the purpose of his movement is to establish Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahya anil Munkar, to promote virtue, to prevent vice, to bid good, to forbid evil. Allahumma innaka ta'lam anni uhibbul munkara uhibbul ma'rufa wa unkirul munkar. At the grave of the Prophet, Imam alayhi salam says, O Lord, you know that I love munkar, what is good and virtuous, and I dislike and I'm disgusted with what is evil. Furthermore, in the wasiyya that he leaves behind with Ibn al-Hanafiyya also, he declares very clearly that the purpose is Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. The Imams of the Ahlul Bayt have explained that a person's faith is incomplete if the person does not practice Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. La deena liman dana bi ta'ati man asa Allah. There is no true faith in a person who obeys a creature who disobeys God. If we know in a society, in a community, there's a culture, there's authority, there's influence, but which is disobedient to God, and for whatever reason we allow ourselves to succumb to that pressure, then our faith is incomplete. So one of the fundamental lessons of Karbala would be, how is it that we should practice Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahya anil Munkar? Just to emphasize once more, in fact, even before the movement began during the time of Yazid, in the time of Muawiyah, Imam alayhi salam sent out messages inviting elders of the community, leaders of the community, scholars of the community throughout the Muslim world to come for Hajj in that particular year, the 58th year of Hijrah, 2 years before the demise of Muawiyah. And they met in Mina, and Imam alayhi salam gave a long sermon, but the crux of that sermon was, we're living in times when it is the duty of elders, the duty of the scholars, the duty of believers who know what's happening to practice Nahya anil Munkar. And in order to bolster his argument, Imam alayhi salam quotes verses from the Quran, from Surah Ma'idah chapter 5, ayah number 66. Imam alayhi salam says that اعتبروا أيها الناس بما وعظ الله به أولياءه من سوء ثناه على الأحبار. O people, seek admonishment, admonition from God, the way He has advised His close beloved servants, that in the Quran He has condemned the scholars of the scriptures, the Jewish rabbis or the Christian priests, because of what they saw happening in the Bani Israel of evil, and they chose to remain silent. Ayah number 66, chapter number 5, Allah says that وَلَوْلَا يَنْهَاهُمُ الرَّبَّانِيُّونَ والأحبار عن قولهم الإثم. Allah condemns. Why is it that these scholars, the priests and the rabbis, kept silent when they knew the evil is being perpetrated and committed publicly, openly, defiantly, knowingly, deliberately, and they kept silent? Allah condemns them. Imam invokes a similar list of verses, and finally he gives the reason. The reason of all this emphasis on Nahya anil Munkar is إِنَّمَا عَابَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَرَوْنَ مِنَ الظَّلَمَ الْمُنْكَرَ وَالْفَسَادِ فَلَا يَنْهَوْنَهُمْ عَنْ ذَلِكَ رَغْبَةً فِي مَا كَانُوا وَرَهْبَةً فِي مَا كَانُوا يَنَالُونَ مِنْهُمْ وَرَهْبَةً مِمَّا يَحْذَرُونَ. It's because of their seeking of the dunya. Those in the authority who were criminals, who were wicked, who were evildoers, they used to buy and they used to bribe these scholars. They used to grant them with favors of the dunya. So in order to enjoy the continuous flow of the favors of the dunya, and out of fear of the torture that they could possibly face should they oppose and protest, the rabbis and the priests chose to keep quiet, and Allah condemns them. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says the same applies to our community. If we allow our rulers to rule with evil silently, which is a tacit approval, then the same condemnation applies to us also. فَلَا تَخْشَوْا النَّاسَ وَخْشَوْنِي. Imam alayhi salam quotes another ayah of the Quran, that do not fear people, fear me and me alone, God says. And then he quotes a third ayah, الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. Believers, men and women, are supporters, guardians, protectors, helpers of each other. يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. The reason the community of believers becomes strong and is able to protect and guard and shield itself from the influences of the outside culture which pulls them towards evil is because they do أَمْرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And therefore, it's important to see how we can apply this particular ruling to our lives. Our fuqaha, our mujtahideen, may Allah protect them and prolong their lives, they emphasize the the principle of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar by saying it's one of the most important wajibat and one of the most important compulsory duties that a Muslim has to perform. The riwayah says, for example, biha tuqamul fara'id. Salah, for example, if it's not prevalent in a community, it's Amrul Ma'ruf that will ensure Salah becomes prevalent. Biha ta'manul mazahib. Security is ensured. If there are evildoers, rascals, those who don't care for public property, they don't respect public decency, and they misbehave in public, it's Amrul Ma'ruf that will ensure the security and the safety and the decency in society. Biha tuhallul makasib, economic prosperity based on halal income and expenditure. Amr al-Ma'ruf will ensure that. Number 4, tumna'ul mazalim. If people are mistreating others, if people have, for example, usurped rights, taken loans, not paying back, it is Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, the ethos and the culture that's prevalent within the community that will ensure that the rights are observed of individuals. Number 5, tu'mar al-ard. Your community can flourish and prosper because of Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. Oh, don't think that by violating the laws of God, that if you achieve certain apparent physical material prosperity, that is true growth. That's a false growth. When Allah describes the influence of zakat versus riba in the growth and prosperity of a community, Allah says in Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, ayah number 270, Allahu yurbis sadaqat wa yamhaqu riba. Allah enables the sadaqah to grow, but He will not allow riba to grow. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. Ayah number 276, وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ كَفَّارٍ أَثِيمٍ. If you find an economic system where there is prosperity based on riba, Allah says, no, that is not true growth. That looks like growth, but it's not true growth. Imagine a woman you see with an extended abdomen, and you're saying, wow, this is a growth, and she's pregnant, there's something productive inside, a new life is forming, within a period of time she's going to deliver, and this community is going to grow with a new additional life. What's the guarantee? Check that extended abdomen, perhaps you'll find just empty fluid, which is sickening to this woman. Maybe she's suffering from cancer. It looks extended. Not everything extended is positive growth. Not every apparent indicator of growth, material growth, is necessarily prosperity according to the divine perspective. So Allah says, sorry, the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt explain the effect of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar in that the community will grow and develop, but according to the true principles. And finally, yuntasaf lil mazlumi min al-zalim. And through the process of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, we will make sure that the rights, the human rights of the downtrodden, of the oppressed, shall be restored. But the application and the implementation of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar has good conditions. It doesn't apply anywhere and everywhere, number one. Number two, even in those situations where it does apply, there is a method of application. And number three, the final level of application is the one which Imam Hussein alayhi salam applied, and that is by giving up his life to save the faith. That is the ultimate level. But there are medium and there are initial and preliminary levels also, and those steps have to be undertaken. If they fail to produce results, that's when you go to the final level. So let me just explain how the whole system should work. There's a beautiful riwayah which says that Amr al-Ma'ruf is when you must bid good and forbid evil, You just can't do it any which way you want. You can't be harsh, you can't be rough, you can't be impolite, you can't be disrespectful. That's against the very principles of the Sharia. You can't do munkar, to achieve ma'ruf. So there has to be a method approved by the Sharia. Excuse me. So let me read this riwayah for you. It's a beautiful one, but it sets the tone and it gives the context in which the rules of Amr al-Ma'ruf will apply. Basically, Imam alayhi salam explains that don't expect to have everyone in the community at the same level of perfection and spiritual achievement. Allow for and accommodate for and adjust to different levels of development. And if you try to impose upon people what is beyond their capacity, then it'll backfire. So the fundamental duty, first of all, before Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahya anil Munkar can be done, is to appreciate when is it that it should be done. The riwayah says that from the sixth holy Imam that قد يكون حب في الله ورسوله وحب في الدنيا فما كان في الله ورسوله فثوابه على الله وما كان في الدنيا فليس بشيء. You may have the love of God and you do something with the motive of the love of the dunya. What is important is your niyyah should be that it should be for the love of God and not for the love of the dunya. Essentially, Imam alayhi salam explains that the levels at which individuals can approach God and get close to God, they differ. Everyone has got their own potential, their own aptitude, their own comfort zone, if you can label it, whereby they can relate to God, whereby they can relate to the public, and they can relate to the society. We need to be able to appreciate people's levels differ. If we understand this, then when we expect others to behave according to certain standards, we will not judge them according to our standards. We won't expect them to achieve a tenth level and tenth grade of accomplishment if they are only equipped and they only have the potential for level one. So riwayah says, don't impose on level one the expectation of level two, on level two expectation of level three onwards. Be gentle, be kind, be courteous, be respectful. Gradually pull them towards the faith. And they give that classical example which is mentioned, that there was a man who had a neighbor who was a person of another faith, but he was getting closer to the Islamic faith because he saw the behavior and the character, and therefore this Muslim invites him to convert, and then goes to him early in the morning and knocks on his door and pulls him to the mosque in the morning. And then once he finishes the prayer, he wants to go back and says, no, why don't you wait and recite some dua and some Quran. And then he continues the same way for the Dhuhr prayers and for the Asr prayers and the Maghrib prayers. And finally, towards the end, at night when he allows him to go back home, next day when he goes to knock the door to this gentleman, the man says, sorry, if this is all that you do in your faith, then I'm sorry, I cannot leave my livelihood to come and practice all the time this spirituality in the mosque. It is good to be spiritual at an advanced level, but not everyone has the capacity and the ability to sustain it. So, fundamental approach is that of respect, of gentleness, of politeness, of courtesy. This duty of Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, according to the Mujtahids, is classified as a wajib kifai. Wajib kifai means that It is wajib to be enacted in the community. Some evil is done, somebody must stop it. Either all of us should stop it, or some of us should stop it. But the important thing is, the end result is that evil should stop. Or if there's a ma'ruf which has not been enacted, that ma'ruf should finally be enacted. However which way it is, ensured that it will be enacted, whether by one person bidding the good or the whole community bidding good. But the whole community will be culpable and punishable should they fail to ensure that that ma'ruf is done, or should they fail to ensure that that munkar and that evil is prevented and stopped. So rule number one is that it is a duty which is a social responsibility. Number two, not everyone is required to do Amrul Ma'ruf. You need to know yourself what is Ma'ruf, and you need to know yourself what is the Munkar. So the riwayah says that إِنَّمَا الْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهِي عَلَى الْمُنْكَرِ عَلَى الْقَوِيِّ الْمُطَاعِ الْعَالِمِ. You should know what is Ma'ruf before you can ask somebody else to do it. You should know what is Munkar before you can prevent somebody else from doing it. Or another riwayah says, إنما يأمر بالمعروف من كانت فيه ثلاث خصال. If you have these three qualities, then أمر بالمعروف becomes واجب. العالم فيما يأمر, عالم فيما ينكر, عادل فيما يأمر, عادل فيما ينكر. الرفيق, gentle, courteous, kind, فيما يأمر, رفيق فيما ينكر. So you have to know yourself what ma'ruf and munkar is. Number two, you have to be practicing it. And number three, you have to be gentle in your approach. Rule number three. So I know what's ma'ruf, and I know what's munkar, and I've seen ma'ruf not being done, and I've seen munkar not being done. So it's my duty to now bid the good and forbid the evil. But it's important that I also should know that this individual who's not done the ma'ruf or he has done the munkar, does he have an excuse? Or perhaps he's in a situation where the Sharia allows him to take alcohol, for example. I'm not talking about attending the pub. I'm talking about, let's say, he's sick and some medication is required, and that medication includes alcohol, and even the amount is very small, but there's no other alternative available, and if he doesn't take this alternative, then his life is in danger. Then, as an exception, yes, he's allowed to take something of alcohol. So I see a medicine. Wow, you are drinking something najis and haram. Well, but maybe he has a reason that justifies him to drink that. Number four. So I know what's ma'ruf and munkar. The person who is not doing the ma'ruf and or is doing the munkar doesn't have an excuse for doing so. Number four is maybe he's made a mistake. Maybe he forgot. Maybe he was caught in a situation, he lost control. But now he has realized, he has recognized, he's sorry about it, he's regretting, and he doesn't plan to do it again. So if a person is not persistent, repetitive, continuous in evil behavior, I have no right to invade and intrude in his personal life and impose upon him the performance of ma'ruf and munkar, because he has decided not to do it anyway. Number five. So I have to be gentle. I have to know what's ma'ruf and munkar. I have to know this person has no excuse in not doing the ma'ruf or doing the munkar. I have to know now he is persistent and determined to continue to do it. Rule number five says that I must also make sure that what I'm going to tell him is going to have an effect on him. The riwayah says that إِنَّمَا يَأْمُرُ إنما يؤمر بالمعروف وينهى عن المنكر المؤمن والجاهل. أما صاحب الصوت وصاحب السيف فلا. Somebody who holds a whip, or somebody who's got a sword in his hand, a symbol of authority. If you know you're going to speak out against them, they're not going to listen to you. They've reached a level of arrogance whereby they say, "Don't you dare speak anything against us." If you know it's not going to have an effect, then it's not wajib. You may go ahead and do it, but it's not wajib on you to do it. And finally, rule number 6. The performers of Amrul Ma'ruf and Nahi Anil Munkar should have no harmful effect or a danger on the person performing it. إِنَّمَا الْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَاجِبَانِي عَلَى The sixth one Imam says, عَلَى مَنْ أَمْكَنَهُ ذَلِكَ وَلَا يَخَافُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ وَلَا عَلَى أَصْحَابِهِ There should be no خوف and fear of any danger to my person or to my property or to my prestige or to that of my family or to that of my community if I engage in this. Which means that this is a wajib that has to be done provided there is no greater danger that is going to result from performing it. Except for one situation. When it is necessary to suffer some danger, some harm to our possessions and property, or to our prestige, or to that of our relatives, or to that of the community, or no, even to our lives, because if we don't do that, there is something much more important than our property and possession and prestige and life, which is at danger. In that situation, then it becomes wajib to go ahead nevertheless. And that is the situation of Imam Ali Salam. The second issue about Amr al-Ma'ruf that we need to be aware about is the method. So we saw the conditions when it becomes wajib. The second issue is how to do it. What are the levels of performance? Three levels have been mentioned in the Quran. In the riwayat. One is the level of the mind and the heart. Number two is the speech or the words to change a person, and number three, action. So the thought process and the feelings and the behavior. Number two, the verbal admonition, and number three, the physical action. Minimum requirement of Nahi Anil Munkar or Amr al Ma'ruf is if somebody is doing something evil, then in my heart I should feel a dislike for that sort of behavior. Not for the person, but for the action. For the person, my aim should be to guide him. So the evil doer, I must show towards that person a dislike. The riwayah says that Jibreel was sent down to punish a people. So when he came down, he saw amongst them a pious person. So he went back and he says that I am to destroy these people except for this pious person, isn't it? And God says, no, you punish the whole people including the pious person. So Jibreel asks, but why? And Allah explains, the reason is because this pious person lived amongst the sinners, though he could not bring about a change physically, though he could not speak so that it would have an effect, but in his heart, in his behavior, he showed no dislike for the evil that was being committed. And therefore, he, because of his tacit approval at that basic level, he also deserves to be punished. Or another riwayah says that, do you know that when the final awaited savior shall make his reappearance, that the progeny of the killers of Imam Hussein alayhi salam also shall be killed? So the Rawi says, but the killers of Imam Hussein have gone away. Why should the progeny, the Quran says, لَا تَزِرُوا وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. Let not somebody else carry the burden of somebody else. Every sinner will be accountable for their own sin. Why should I be punishable for the sins of my fathers? So the ayah, so the Imam alayhi salam explains in this riwayah that man radiya shay'an kana kaman atahu. If in their hearts they have approval for the behavior, for the sinister crime that was committed by their forefathers, then they are partners in that crime. So I can't change somebody by my words, and I can't change them by physical action. Minimum is in my heart and in my mind I should have a dislike and a disapproval for that. Take a third riwayah. Nuh alayhi salam, when the command came to drown that community, so the Ravi says, is it fair that everybody else should be drowned? Then what about the children? Children are innocent. They're not even baligh. They're not even at the age of responsibility. So Imam explains, no, Allah, before punishing the people, made those people infertile and sterile. For a period of time, there were no children. There were only those who were adults and responsible. Then when they were punished, there was one group in addition to the sinners who were also punished and drowned. أُغْرِقُوا بِرِضَاهُمْ بِتَكْذِيبِ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. The mukazzibin, those who knew the truth of Prophet Nuh, but denied it, refused to accept it, in fact opposed him, they were drowned. In addition to that, those people who believed in Nuh, but kept silent, in approval of these disbelievers, they were also drowned. The rida, the inner approval by the mind and heart of the evil that is being done, and no action is being taken, it's no dislike also is being displayed and shown, even that is condemned. Or a fourth riwayah says, in a crime there are three partners. Al-amilu bi-zulmi, wal-mu'inu lahu wal-radi bih. The original perpetrator of the crime, the accomplice and the supporter of and the helper of the crime, and the partner in the crime, and the one who was silent and therefore approved the crime. All of them are responsible. So this is stage one. That's the minimum stage. The riwayah says a mu'min is of three types: the strong mu'min, the medium mu'min, and the weak mu'min. The weak mu'min is the one who only shows disapproval in the heart. If you don't even have disapproval or dislike or disgust for evil in the heart, you're not even a true mu'min. So if there is disapproval, there is iman, but it's of a very low and weak level. Stage two now is the expression, the words, the admonition, the advice, the warning, the threats, the reminder of Jannah, the reminder about Jahannam, for example. So the riwayah says that man masha, the fifth holy imam, man masha ila sultanin jairin fa'amarahu bitaqwa Allah wa wa'adahu wa khawwafahu kana lahu mithl ajri thaqalain. Whosoever is bold enough to stand up and to go to the evil tyrant, tyrannical ruler, despotic ruler, and to admonish him verbally and to remind him about the akhirah and the jahannam, then he will get the thawab of the ibadah of the jinn and the ins. Oh, that's a very bold, courageous step. Because of you, the jinn and the ins will be able now to at least perform the ibadah correctly if you can stop this evil tyrant or evil despotic ruler. Step two. Step three is the strongest mu'min. The mu'min who takes physical action to make sure this ma'ruf is enacted or the munkar is stopped. But this level, because it now involves the use of force, our mujtahid say no, this level needs approval from the imam, or in the absence of the ma'soom imam, you need the approval of the mujtahid. Basically, it's the duty of the Islamic government. And this is the level which the imam ma'soom alayhi salam applied. The level at which he said that I'm going to fight till death, but I will not be forced to succumb to evil. And this is clearly stated by Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the khutbah that he gave in Mecca. After arrival in Mecca on the 3rd of Sha'ban till the 8th of Dhul Hajj, when the situation now becomes clear that the Bani Umayyah are not going to allow him to live without making bay'ah, they have systematically and carefully, one by one, eliminated anyone who dared oppose the appointment of Yazid. Khalid bin Walid converted to Islam. The Prophet accepted him. Later on, he went in the service of the Khulafa. He had two children, two sons, Abdurrahman bin Khalid bin Walid, who was with the Bani Umayyah, and Muhajir bin Khalid bin Walid, who was with Imam Ali alayhi salam in Siffin. Abdurrahman was very popular, with a charismatic personality, very influential. He was the flag bearer in the Battle of Siffin on the side of Muawiyah. كان حامل اللواء الأعظم, the biggest of the contingents of the Safin army. Muawiyah in Sham, on one occasion, to show that he's a democratic ruler, he addresses the public. He says, you know, I'm growing old, كبرت سني وقرب أجلي, I'm about to die, and you know, somebody should take charge of the government after me, but somebody who can maintain unity in the Ummah and somebody who can govern well. But I don't want to impose my opinions on you. I'm one just like you. أنا رجل منكم. You tell me what your opinion is. Who is the best suited to take power after me? History says the people unanimously say that رضينا with عبد الرحمن بن خالد بن وليد. Muawiyah was shocked, but he didn't show his displeasure. It was very hard on Muawiyah to hear this, because he expected Yazid to be accepted. Incidentally, Abdurrahman falls ill. Muawiyah summons his Jewish physician. Tells him, when you're going to treat him, make sure some poison also is included in your treatment. Abdurrahman is dead. Muhajir, his brother, who was on the side of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Siffin, when he comes to know this, he enters Damascus secretly, stealthily, and makes a surveillance of this Jewish physician. One night, he comes out from Muawiyah's palace, they follow him, they ambush him, and they kill him. His escorts all run away. Muhajir is arrested, Muhajir is put into prison. Until the time Muawiyah dies, Muhajir is in prison of Damascus. But that's the situation. Your closest commander, if he opposes you, he has to be eliminated. Well, not only him, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad was the governor in Kufa at the time of Imam Hussein. The father Ziyad opposed Muawiyah. And Muawiyah threatens him, I'm going to remove you from power. Ziyad had no status in society. Ziyad was instated and given honor and made a brother to Muawiyah, because Ziyad bin Abi belonged to a background where it was not known who was his father. So Muawiyah, in order to restore his status, makes him, and Imam Hussein alayhi salam takes this as a fundamental objection against this behavior of Muawiyah, that you have violated the principle of the Prophet, which is that you cannot adopt someone as a brother. Adoption in the Sharia, you can sponsor, yes, but adoption in such a way that you declare somebody else to be a son of somebody who is not his biological father is haram in the Sharia. Surah Ahzab clearly mentions that. So when the Prophet took Zayd the slave and freed him, got him as a gift from the holy lady Khadija, and then he frees Zayd, and then he takes up Zayd as his son, the adopted son, after this ayah of the Quran which says that no, your adoption is not allowed, he changes the name. His name is no longer Zayd bin Muhammad now. But Muawiyah violates the Quran and violates the Sunnah of the Prophet. Even a person like Ziyad, one day he is raised so long as he serves the evil empire, and one day he's dropped when he opposes Muawiyah. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, with this evil system, nothing is working now. Internal displeasure you show is not enough. Admonition, verbal reminders, they're not working. These people are dabbling in alcohol deliberately, publicly. These people engage in riba, engage in immorality. they allow the nikah between two sisters, which is haram according to Sharia, and tajma'u bayna al-ukhtayn, the list of those women who are haram, one of them is to marry the sister. Number five, diya, blood money, which the Sharia has set. They never observe those rules. Hudud, the punishment which has been legislated by the Sharia. They never observe them. Hajj, you begin Hajj with the talbiyah, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. This is how you enter Salah, by making Allahu Akbar. So also you enter into Hajj and the Ihram by making labbaik. Muawiyah went to Hajj without reciting labbaik. Now which Hajj are you performing? They could manipulate and they could change anything they wanted according to their wishes, and nobody was there to stop them. And the Salat of Eid, as I mentioned before, and the payment of people to fabricate hadith, and the appointment of ruthless governors. This was a whole evil empire which had been set up. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam now declares, why is it that for me, Nahi anil Munkar should be in the form of this uprising? This khutbah that he gives in Makkah is a beautiful summary of his movement. Alhamdulillah, wa ma sha'a Allah, ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله على رسوله وسلم. I praise God. Whatever is happening is according to His wonderful plan. True, I'm suffering. True, I'm in pain. True, it's a time of injustice. But in His grand scheme, this is beautiful. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah. Whatever He wills and decrees, we accept. We will try our best to do good. But the final decree, whatever He has decided, we will accept. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةٍ. Whatever I have ability to perform, it's strength granted by God. خُطَّ الْمَوْتُ عَلَى وُلْدِ آدَمَ مَخَطَّ الْقَلَادَةِ عَلَى جِيدِ الْفَتَاةِ. This is Makkah. This is the time when Imam Hussein alayhi salam has been receiving continuously from the month of Ramadan onwards hundreds and thousands of letters, especially from Kufa. Come over to Kufa, we are ready to appoint you as our Imam, so you bring justice here. So the situation is suddenly turning in his favor. Yet Imam begins his khutbah by saying, I'm ready to die. Amazing. He knew something which others had not yet realized. Death has been woven on the neck of the son of Adam, just like a necklace. It's beautiful. Who is afraid of death? I'm not afraid of death. Death is inescapable. Not only is it inescapable, it's wonderful experience. I'm looking forward to it. This logic is amazing. وَمَا أَوْلَهَنِي إِلَىٰ أَسْلَافِي إِشْتِيَاقُ يَعْقُوبُ إِلَىٰ يُوسُفُ. How can I describe to you my desire, my disgust with this world and the way it's moving towards injustice, and my desire to go and join the company of the Holy Ones, the same way as Ya'qub yearned for Yusuf. That's my desire to join my elders. وَخُيِّرَ لِي مَصْرَعَ أَنَا لَاقِيهِ. I've been given a choice, that I shall have to die for the cause of truth, and I've accepted that choice. كَأَنِّي بِأَوْصَالِي يَتَقَطَّعُهَا عُسْلَانُ الْفَلَوَاتِ بَيْنَ النَّوَاوِيسِ وَكَرْبَلَا. I can see my future very near, the time when the wolves of the desert shall be eating up my flesh between Nawawis and Karbala. فَيَمْلَأَنَّ مِنِّي أَكْرَاشًا جَوْفًا وَأَجْرِبَةً صُغْبًا. And they shall fill their bellies with the flesh and blood. لَا مَحِيصَ عَنْ يَوْمٍ خُطَّ بِالْقَلَمِ. This is the decree of God, I accept it. رِضَ اللَّهِ رِضَانَا أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. Whatever pleases God, that is our pleasure. Our pleasure is not our flesh. Our pleasure is not of the comforts of the dunya. Our pleasure is what pleases God. The pleasure that people derive from eating and drinking and satisfaction in the sexual area or any other human instinct, the pleasure which they derive is the spiritual pleasure, because their body has been now controlled totally under the spirit. And therefore, the pleasures of the flesh cannot stop them from aspiring for the pleasures of the spirit. نصبر على بلائه. We will firmly and with full determination accept all the suffering and the affliction. ويوفينا أجور الصابرين. And we shall be given the full reward for this sabr. لن تشذ عن رسول الله لحمته. I can never ever part from the way of my grandfather, because my flesh is his flesh. Not only biologically, more important spiritually. Spiritually, I've grown up under the Prophet, and therefore my aspirations, my fears, my hopes, my likes, my dislikes are all that of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. وَهِيَ مَجْمُوعَةٌ لَهُ فِي حَضِيرَةِ الْقُدُسِ. And I hope to see him very soon in the next world. Conclusion. Imam alayhi salam ends this khutbah by saying, مَنْ كَانَ فِينَا بَاذِلًا مُهْجَتَهُ وَمُوَطِّنًا عَلَى لِقَاءِ اللَّهِ نَفْسَهُ فَلْيَرْحَلْ مَعْنَا فَإِنِّي رَاحِلُ الْمُصْبِحَةِ. Tomorrow I'm leaving. He's departing Mecca now. So apparently this must be on the 7th of Zilhajj. I'm leaving tomorrow. Whosoever is ready to donate whatever God has given him in the way of God, let him join me. What do you have from God? You have possessions? Well, give it in the way of God. You have your life? Give it in the way of God. We can't live with this system, which we can't change by just keeping silent. We can't change even by verbally talking to them. The only way we can change is by now physical resistance. Because if we don't, then the very values that keep this earth alive, no, this earth alive, those very values are being trampled now. So whosoever is ready to donate, when you give something in the way of God, bazil is to give away as a gift. But then you give away something and you don't consider also that something is too great. You may give everything that you have, all the money that you have, all your possessions that you have. You may give your children. You may give your family in the way of God. You may give even your life in the way of God. Yet at the end of the day, you still feel I've not given enough. To describe this attitude, the word uses bazilan, muhjatahu. If you give everything away and yet you feel you haven't done enough, come in our path. Join me. I'm leaving tomorrow. وَمُوَطِّنًا عَلَى لِقَاءِ اللَّهِ نَفْسَهُ. If your intention is to return back to your original home from which you came, you want to go and visit and encounter and meet the Lord from whom you came, then you come and join me. This is Imam Hussein alayhi salam going on his way to Kufa to receive all those tens of thousands of people who invited him. Yet he's speaking of death. Because he knows beforehand that the evil system is so powerful, it will influence and it will prevent even the good doers from coming to help Imam alayhi salam. Tonight we commemorate the sacrifice made by one of the greatest companions of Imam alayhi salam, Habib bin Muzahir al-Asadi. He had settled down in Kufa. Great companion. Some say he was even a companion of the Prophet. Not established, but definitely companion of Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And therefore he participated actively in the battles of Jamal and Siffin and Nahrawan. And he was a loyal, close, committed, dedicated companion of the Imam, such that the Imams pulled him closer. They found him to be responsive, to be responsible, to be ready to receive higher knowledge, and therefore they raised him. In fact, he reaches to a stage where he comes to know the future. There are very few people who can be blessed with this. There are some people who begin to see dreams, and dreams come out to be true. It's a blessing from God, but not everyone is blessed with that. But some people don't only see dreams, they see visions during the wakeful state. And beyond that, Habib was given this knowledge. So, in our books of biography, the Rijal of Kashi, for example, mentions this incident of Habib in the bazaar of Kufa, meeting with Rushayd al-Hajari, meeting first with Maytham bin Yahya al-Tammar. So they say Maytham came and met on his horse Habib. In the meeting place or the gathering place of the Bani Asad, and they were talking with each other. And then they got so close that the horses crossed each other. The necks of the horses intertwined. So Habib, looking at Maytham, says, "I can see a future where there's an old man, Maytham, bald, big abdomen, selling melons in the bazaar of Dar Rizq. And now, because of his love for the Ahlul Bayt, he has been crucified and his abdomen has been cut open on the crucifix." So Maytham bin Yahya responds, "And I also know a man, red-faced, with two hair locks. He will come out in the support of the son of the daughter of his prophet, and he will be killed, and his head shall be paraded." So they spoke this about the future of both, and they left. In the Bani Asad Majlis, the people said, "We haven't seen anyone speaking stories which are lies more than these two." When the two left, Rushayd al-Hajari arrived, seeking and looking out for them. So he was told they've just left, but they said very strange things before they left. So Rushayd al-Hajari says, "Rahimallahu Maythaman." May Allah bless Maytham. I think he forgot one little detail about Habib. He said that this head will be chopped off and it will be paraded, yes. But the one who will bring the head to Ibn Ziyad in Kufa, he shall be given 100 dirhams. 100 dirhams, 100 silver coins extra. And then he left. So the people said, "Goodness, this third one turns out to be even a greater liar than the first two ones." Notice, people cannot even tolerate or appreciate the truth when it is told to them. Later on, the same people in Kufa say, "After years, we saw exactly what those two or three people had predicted turned out to be true." رَأَيْنَا كُلَّ مَا قَالُوا كَانَ حَبِيب مِنَ السَّبْعِينَ. Habib was one of the 70 people who left Kufa to help Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This is Kufans describing. This is Kufans who did not go to Kufa, and now they are reporting history. What happened? They went to Karbala and they faced a mountain of iron swords. The swords were so many against them. They faced bravely the swords with their chests. They faced the spears with their chests, sorry. They faced the swords with their face. And they were offered money and they were bribed, but they refused. They were offered protection, but they refused. And their only response was, "La uzra lana inda Rasulillah in qutila al-Husayn wa minna aynun tatrif." If an eye blinks and we're alive, meaning, and Hussein is touched and harmed and we sit quiet, we're ashamed to go and present ourselves to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Habib was a member of the elite strike force, the special elite guard that protected Imam Ali alayhi salam, the Shurtatul Khamis. So he was a brave man, was an intelligent man, a spiritual man. And he was one of the leading figures to invite Imam Hussein alayhi salam when he was in Makkah to come over to Kufa. And when Muslim bin Aqil was sent by Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he was the first one to respond and to receive Muslim bin Aqil. Incidentally, in that gathering where the Shias come to meet Muslim bin Aqil and to receive him and to welcome him, one of the Shias who was there was Abis bin Shabib, or Abis bin Abi Shabib Shakiri. Abis stands up in that gathering and he says, "Amma ba'd," he tells Muslim bin Aqil, "Inni la ukhbiruka 'anil nas," I cannot speak for the other people, how they're going to respond to you, the messenger of Imam Hussein. وَلَا أَعْلَمُ مَا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ I don't know what's in their hearts. وَمَا أَغُرُّكَ مِنْهُمْ And I can't even give you false promises and false hopes about what their response is going to be to you. I can only speak for myself. وَاللَّهِ لَأُحَدِّثَنَّكَ عَمَّ أَنَا مُوَطِّنُ النَّفْسِ عَلَيْهِ I'll tell you what my decision is in response to this invitation of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. وَاللَّهِ لَأُجِيبَنَّكُمْ إِذَا دَعَوْتُمْ You call me now, I'm ready to fight. وَلَأُقَاتِلَنَّ مَعَكُمْ عَدُوَّكُمْ And I'll fight against your enemy. وَلَأُضْرِبَنَّ بِسَيْفِ دُونَكُمْ حَتَّى أَلْقَى اللَّهِ Till I meet my Lord. I'm ready to die. لا أريد بذلك I don't want anything from you. I don't want recognition, appreciation, money, anything. لا أريد بذلك إلا ما عند الله. I want the reward from Allah. This is Abis. Habib, when he listens to this, immediately stands up. And he says, I support exactly what this man has said. I'm in total conformity. It's after these two leading figures declaring their total loyalty to Muslim bin Aqil, then the rest of the Shia in Kufa stood up in response. So Habib was one of those leading figures. Incidentally, Abis though we're talking about Habib, but because Habib and Abis were close, allow me to talk a little more about Abis. Abis on the day of Ashura, when he sees the companions are falling, he comes to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and asks for permission to go. He says, he comes to Imam and he says that, Ya Aba Abdullah, Wallahi ma aqdiru ala an adfa'a anka al-qatl bi shay'in a'azza alayya min nafsi. I wish to protect you. I wish to do anything and everything possible to save your life. I'm ready to give anything I have. If I have a slave, if I have some possessions, anything I can do. But right now I'm in a situation where I've got nothing better than my own life to give before you. فَعَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ I come here for my last salam. Allow me to go. Abis goes to the battlefield. And on the battlefield, an interesting thing happens. The Kufans know Abis. Abis was a brave warrior. He had participated in previous battles and they knew him. Abu Mikhnaf is one of the earliest historians who has recorded from live witnesses who were there in Karbala. Abu Mikhnaf says, I met a man known as Numair bin Wa'la. And he reported to me from another person from the tribe of Bani Abd bin Hamdan by the name of Rabi' bin Tamim. This man was there in Karbala. He says, when I saw Abis enter the battlefield, I immediately recognized him. Because I knew him, he was the bravest warrior. So I told my friends, Ayuhannas, هَذَا الْأَسَدُ الْأَسْوَدُ This is the black lion. Meaning, this is the ferocious one. You can't touch him. هَذَا ibn Abi Shabib. This is Abis, son of Shabib Shakiri. Don't you ever dare go man to man, one to one with him. You won't survive. Abis came in front of them. He says, Ala rajul li rajul. Is there a man for me? Nobody. Quiet. The man is brave. Umar ibn Sa'ad says, Irdahuhu bil hijara. Rain a shower of stones on him. They couldn't face him. Abis, instead of turning back, he removes his helmet. He removes his body armor and he faces them with his chest and his bare body. And he says, Ana, when he is killed, people come and chop his head off and everyone says, I'm the one who killed him. This Abis, his closest friend Habib, when Habib goes to the battlefield, Ibn Ziyad had already mobilized a huge army. He went to the mosque and gave his khutbah and he said, Yazid is the best Khalifa for you and he's going to add to your stipends hundreds and thousands extra, but you must come out in support against this enemy of God. God forbid, referring to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Shimr bin Zil Joshan is sent with a contingent of 4,000, Ibn Sa'ad with 9,000, Yazid bin Rikab with 2,000, Hassin bin Numair al-Sakuni with 4,000, al-Mazini with 3,000, somebody by the name of the son of Nasr by 2,000, a total of 20,000 already. and plus 10,000 others total of almost 30,000 were mobilized. Habib is watching all these contingents from Kufa, his own hometown, coming to Karbala. So he goes to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and he says, allow me to get some more help for us. I am from the tribe of Bani Asad. Let me go and appeal to Bani Asad. They live just here in the neighborhood of Karbala. Let me go and appeal to them. Perhaps they will join us. So Imam alayhi salam allows Habib ibn Madahir to go to the tribe of Bani Asad to recruit some members. He goes to them, he tells them, I've come here with the best offer that any person can bring to his community. Please listen to me. He says, I've come here to ask you to come and help Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And if you do so, if you come and help Imam Hussein alayhi salam, then that is the best for you. أتيتكم أدعوكم إلى نصر ابن بنت نبيكم فإنه في عصابة من المؤمنين. Let me tell you who we are. Hussein alayhi salam has come. He's in the company of believers. الرجل منهم خير من ألف رجل. Every man who is coming in support of Imam Hussein right now in Karbala is better than 1,000 other people. لن يخذلوه. They will never abandon him. لن يسلموه. They will never surrender him to the enemy. أبدا. وهذا عمر بن سعد قد أحاط به. عمر بن سعد is a chief commander. He's come and surrounded Imam. وأنتم قومي. You are my people. I've come to you to appeal for help. If you help, أطيعوني تنالوا بها شرف الدنيا والآخرة. You will get the honor of the here and the hereafter. فإني أقسم بالله, I swear to God to you, لا يقتل أحد منكم في سبيل الله مع ابن بنت رسول الله صابرا إلا كان رفيقا لمحمد صلى الله عليه وآله. Any one of you dies in defense of Imam Hussein, definitely he shall be in the company of the Prophet, of the grandfather of this man on the Day of Judgment. And that also في عليين, in the highest levels of Jannah. The Bani Asad were believers. They knew Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They knew the Prophet. Immediately their hearts mellowed and softened. And they said, yes, we are ready to support. One of them immediately stood up. And he started saying, قَدْ عَلِمَ الْقَوْمُ إِذَا تَوَاكَلُوا وَأَحْجَمَ الْفُرْسَانُ إِذَا تَنَاقَلُوا أَنِّي شُجَاعٌ بَطَلٌ مُقَاتِلُوا كَأَنَّنِي لَيْثٌ عَرِينٌ بَاسِلُوا. Before the battle, he begins a battle cry. If nobody knows me, then let me tell you, I'm a brave warrior, I'm ready to defend the cause of truth, I'm ready to die for the cause of truth. After this young man standing up, others followed. 90 Bani Asad members declared their support for Habib ibn Madahir to go and join Imam Hussein alayhi salam. God cursed the spies. There was a traitor. Immediately he left and went to Umar ibn Sa'd and says, you know what's happening amongst Bani Asad? They're being recruited. Umar ibn Sa'd sends a contingent of 400 cavalry to stop these 90 soldiers from joining Imam Hussein. An intense battle takes place. This is all happening in the darkness of the night. Intense battle. Bani Asad realizes they can't face these 400 and they go back. Habib ibn Madahir comes back to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, tells them, I'm sorry, I tried but I wasn't able to. Imam says, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyy al-azim. On the day of Ashura, Habib is honored with leading the contingent on the right flank of the army. And the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, the fourth holy Imam who was there in Karbala, he reports the battle as was fought by Habib bin Madahir. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, he says that, and Sheikh Saduq has reported this riwayah from the fourth holy Imam, he says that Habib bin Madahir came out on that final day and we could hear him, his battle cry as he faced the enemy. Habib says that, أنا حبيب وأبي مظاهر فارس هيجاء وحرب تسعر أنتم أعد عدة وأكثر ونحن أوفى منكم وأصبر ونحن أعلى حجة وأظهر حقا وأتقى منكم وأعذر. This is a battle cry heard by the Imam, fourth Imam, reporting to us as recorded by Sheikh Saduq. If you don't know me, who I am Habib, the son of Mudahir, a brave warrior, even in the thick of the battle. I know you are bigger in number and you are better equipped, but we are more superior in our loyalty to the truth, and we are more firm and determined on the path of the truth. And we know better than you who is the proof of God on the earth. And we are more committed to the truth. And we are more God-fearing than you. And we have a better defense when we meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Habib fought bravely. 75-year-old man. He fought bravely, but obviously the enemy being in greater numbers, they overwhelmed him. He falls to the ground. We're not told much details of what happens once he falls to the ground and once he's brought to the camp. But if I can compare what was happening with other companions about whom we know what happened. For example, one of his close companions was a Muslim bin Awsaja, an old man, Asadi, from the same tribe of Bani Asad. When Muslim falls, Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Habib bin Madahir rush to the deathbed. Habib tells Muslim that Azza wallahi alayya masra'uka, abshir bil jannah. Muslim, you were so close to me. We grew up together, we lived together. And it's a great loss for me to see you dying before me. But the only solace and consolation I have for you is, Muslim, you are preceding me and going to Jannah before me. Muslim answers him saying, Basharakallahu bil khair. You pray good for me, I also pray for you. Habib then tells Muslim, I don't know, there's nothing I can do for you. If I had the opportunity, I would have told you, please do some wasiyah, and then after you, I would carry out any duty that you expect me to do. But I'm sorry, I'm handicapped right now. Muslim bin Awsaja is very weak, he's bleeding. He points out, because Habib and Imam Hussein came to Muslim's deathbed. He points out and looks at Imam Hussein and he says, أُوصِيكَ بِهَذَا فَقَاتِلْ دُونَهُ حَتَّى تَمُوتْ. My advice to you in the last few moments that I have, don't ever, even for a moment, abandon this man, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And Habib replies by saying, لَأُنْعِمَنَّكَ عَيْنَا. I will do that to the best of my ability such that you will be comforted when you see me from Barzakh. I'm sure, I don't know, history has not recorded this, but I wouldn't be surprised Imam Hussein alayhi salam would have said, Rahimakallah ya Habib, minhum rijalun. There are people who have committed themselves to the cause of God. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ يَنْتَظِرْ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. Some of them have already lived up to their promise and they've gone. Some of them remain. Muslim went, Habib has gone. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he receives the body of Habib, he grieves. And there's only one statement he makes. أَحْتَسِبُ نَفْسِي وَحُمَاتَ أَصْحَابِي عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. My only solace and my only comfort is, for the sake of God and for the sake of God's pleasure, I accept the sacrifice and the loss of my closest of companions. Assalamu alaykum ya awliya Allah wa ahibba'a. Assalamu ala al-Husayn wa ala Ali ibn al-Husayn wa ala awlad al-Husayn wa ala ashab al-Husayn. Matami Husayn.
Bibi Khatun had asked, where is my child Zuljana? Zuljana, O Zuljana, where is my child, Zuljana? Where is my child, Zuljana? Zuljana, O Zuljana, where is my child, Zuljana? Where is my child, Zuljana? Zuljana, Zuljana, where is my child, Zuljana? Where is my child, Zuljana? The grandson of the prophet of Allah. In a strange land, my son was left to see. They left his body on the plains in the heat. How do I bear such pain and misery? In the darkness of this night, my son is nowhere in sight. Where is my child, Zuljana? Zuljana.